Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Let me repeat those beautiful words. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. These words are taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. How wonderful they sound. Do they not touch a chord in your heart? In this changing scene all around us, are not those words words that bring balm and comfort? There is one, dear friend, who is unchanging. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is the same. The unchanging character of our blessed Lord is a source of courage and stability, and certainly especially today. More than at any other time in the history of man, in every place on this globe, in all realms of society, both men and things change. Constantly change, quickly change. Change is the order of the day. One becomes disappointed and frustrated as trusted men change and fail. Programs to bring change for good in the many areas of need only rise to a certain degree of help and then falter and induce worsening changes in other areas. Oh, how wonderful it is, and I'm sure you'll agree with me when you can think of one who changes not. And he is the one who has an unchanging remedy to bring an unchanging blessing to those who put their trust in him. F.W. Grant wrote many years ago the following words: "Men and things are changing fast. Only Jesus will remain when time is past. None but Jesus. Soon the short, rough voyage o'er, we shall sing upon the shore, ever and forevermore, we have Jesus." This is a testimony that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can give. We have a peace in our heart and a joy and a certainty of hope before us because our trust is in an unchanging Savior. Today, in these few moments with the book, I wish to turn to some passages from the Word of God that present this unchanging one to you. I trust that you will recognize it as the Word of God in the power of the Spirit, wishing to bring the Savior into your heart, and that you too will find him to be an unchanging Savior, one who offered an unchanging sufficient sacrifice to purchase for you an unchanging and eternal redemption. And he has become an unchanging priest, one who intercedes, who has set himself apart in the glory to be your sanctifier. And he waits the moment when he shall be the unchanging coming Lord. He is the one, dear friend, who is the same. Millions have put their trust in him. Millions today on this earth are coming to know him and receiving the gift of eternal life which he freely gives. Millions are going to be with him in the glory. Will you be there? Let us notice a few of these scriptures, if you will. First one in Matthew chapter 1. In verse 23, we read these words: "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew's testimony to the advent of the Son of God into the world. God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And who is he? His name, Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah, Savior. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior? If so, then he's our Savior. He's the Savior of all who have come to him. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He came into the world to seek and to save the lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the Savior. He's saved millions. He's still saving everyone who comes. Has he saved you? That's the question. Is he your Savior? You need a Savior. You cannot save yourself. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. We need a Savior. We do not need one to help us to be saved. We need one to do the complete work. And this leads us to the next scripture. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read of the Son of God coming into the world. And the reason for his coming is stated in this 9th chapter of Hebrews, where we read in verse 26, "Once in the end of the age," that is the Jewish age, "hath he appeared." Why? "To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He's the sacrifice. You say, why is there need for a sacrifice? There's need for a sacrifice because there's the fact of sin. And sin is against God. God's holiness, his character, and all that he is, been sinned against. And you have sinned against him. I have sinned against him. Without exception, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord had decreed that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Sin demanded a sacrifice if man was to have salvation. If Christ was to be your Savior, he had to first be your sacrifice. He came into the world to put away sin. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. Oh, think of the tremendous sacrifice that this entailed. The Lord himself, in his love, came to give himself in death. And that, the death of the cross, a unique death, a death that alone could make propitiation, a death that could make atonement. And he is a propitiatory sacrifice, a sacrifice, that is, that met the claims of a holy, righteous God. He is the sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice which God accepted, a sacrifice that was holy, without blemish, free from sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. He was the only one qualified to take up the question of sin and to settle it. And the payment of his own life as a penalty for sin and the bearing of the judgment of our sins has made him the sacrifice that God has accepted. Friend, on the basis of his sacrifice, he is presented to you as a Savior, the Savior to be accepted. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, we read that the sacrifice entailed the shedding of his blood. He died to pay the penalty. He shed his blood to make propitiation, atonement. Again, I repeat, a satisfying sacrifice, a sacrifice that satisfied a holy God. You know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You could not purchase salvation or redemption. Redemption means to be delivered by a price. and all the silver and all the gold and all the wealth the world's untold, dear friend, could never put away your sin. That's why Christ came, that he might give himself for redemption, deliverance, freedom, and to be purchased, to belong to the Son of God forever. How? What's the price? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you who do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. This redemption, dear friend, is an eternal redemption. It's an unchanging redemption. And everyone who puts his faith in him, in Christ, in God's revelation of him, is the one who is redeemed, purchased, bought, delivered, loosed, set free, never to be exposed to sale, and that forever. The book of Hebrews tells us that he has obtained an eternal redemption for us. There's no such thing, dear friend, as being lost when once you're redeemed. No, because the work is a perfect work. The workman is a perfect workman. And salvation is his to accomplish. Faith is the connecting link to an eternal work. Thank God for that wonderful way of salvation. By grace, saved through faith, the gift of God. Then I want you to notice in 1 Timothy, we have something further. Our blessed Lord is our priest, an unchanging priest. In connection with him who, when he was here, he took up the priestly service of giving himself. He was both priest and sacrifice in opening the way into God's presence for you and me, the sinner. Now, in 2nd chapter, 1 Timothy, verse 5, we read, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." There is only one way of approach to God. He is the mediator. There is none other. Scripture speaks very plainly here. Are you trying to reach God by some other means, through some other person, some organization perhaps, through your own efforts, friend? It's to no avail. There is one God and one mediator, one go-between, one who alone is able to put his hand on your head and the other hand on the throne of God and bring you to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the unchanging priest. And he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Thank God the testimony has been going out now for nearly 2,000 years. He gave himself to accomplish an eternal redemption for you, dear friend. And you still have time today to come to him, to come to God by him. He will receive you. He'll receive you if you come just as you are. He'll not turn you away. And when you come to him, he receives you. He becomes an unchangeable priest in undertaking for you. We have in him an unchangeable priest with an unchangeable priesthood. The 7th chapter of Hebrews. It says, "This man, because he continueth ever, he lives forever. He went to the cross. He gave his life in death. He arose from among the dead. He's a living Savior. The man, Christ Jesus, is living in the glory, bearing the marks of the conflict that he won there, the victory that was his over sin and Satan and death and hell. Now he lives. And we read here, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. He lives. We notice in the next verse, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, right on to the end. Think of it. The one who saves, when you come to him, keeps, right on to the end. Not only are we saved by grace through faith by the power of the gospel, we are kept saved by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Right on to the end. He is able to save right on to the end. Let that sink in. Those that come to God by him, you make him your mediator, he'll save you right on to the end. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, what a Savior. He is our advocate in the glory. He not only saves us, I repeat, from sin and hell, but he keeps us saved. And we become one of his sheep, and we shall never perish. The words of Jesus are these, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." As an unchanging salvation. Due to the fact that we have an unchanging Savior with an unchangeable priesthood. Now then, what does he do? We read in the 10th chapter of Hebrews that he is the unchanging sanctifier. What he does forever. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He came into the world to do the will of God. In chapter 10, verse 10, we read, "By the which will we are," talking to believers now, "we are sanctified." Now, the word sanctified simply means to be set apart to God. One time we were set apart to the world, to our sins, to Satan. But being redeemed brings us into a place of separation from that condition and set apart to God. We are set apart to God how and by what means? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Once. Once for all. Yes, you're only saved once, and you're saved once for all. Thank God, isn't that good? And then in verse 14, the same chapter we read, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," or set apart to God, forever. Jesus Christ the same, the eternal sanctifier, Redeemer and Lord, sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let those words sink into your heart. Perhaps I'm speaking to one today who has not the certainty of a salvation. Maybe you fear you may be lost. Friend, read the Bible. Read what God says about what Christ does for those that put their trust in him. Once for all. Settled forever. Sin's tremendous claim. And so the Lord himself is the eternal sanctifier, the unchanging one, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Finally, I would like to notice John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This is an unchanging promise that one day will be realized and fulfilled. I will come again. Everything points to the nearness of the Lord's return. Yes, there are signs, political, social, religious, that all indicate that Jesus' second coming is right at hand. Three times in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming. In Hebrews we read, "He that shall come will come and will not tarry." That is, the hour has been set. He's going to rise from his Father's throne, and with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming. Our coming Lord is an unchanging Lord. Nothing is going to thwart his coming. He that shall come will come. Are you ready? You're ready for his coming only if you have received him as your Savior. Only if you're resting upon his sacrifice on the cross to pay your penalty of sin. You're ready only if you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You're ready only if you have come to God the Father by Jesus Christ as the one mediator, and you've accepted him as the one who is able to save you right on to the end. You're ready only if you've been sanctified, and if you believe on Jesus, you have been sanctified by his blood. Positionally, every believer is sanctified, set apart to God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You're ready for Jesus coming. And you're ready should you die before he comes. And you may. Friend, you may be near death. I may be speaking to one who is right on his deathbed. And death may be only just a few breaths away from you. You do not know what may overtake you. Will you not be wise and consider this and turn to Christ today? Find in him an unchanging Savior. Just come as you are. Come with all your sin. Say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, and the same Jesus will be your Savior. God grant that you'll come to know him today through these scriptures. Shall we pray? Loving God, our Father, bless the word that portrays the Lord Jesus as the unchanging one today, yesterday, and forever. We ask that every listener will be brought to know him whom to know is life eternal. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.